You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Six minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. Today we're coming to you live from Tshwane, Pitori Mahlanyeng, as they often say. We're in Menlyn this morning. Also, is it Menlyn or is it Menlyn? People of Pretoria, please can you help us out here? Is it Menlyn or is it Menlyn? When I was at Varsity and we used to come to the mall, we used to say we're going to the Menlyn Mall. But then you speak to people who went to private schools and they say, oh, I'm going to Menlyn. So is it Menlyn or is it Menlyn? But you were here in Menlyn this morning. This is where the Young Professionals Seminar is taking place. It's hosted by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. So it's a program that seeks to address skills shortages in the built environment industry. So the whole idea of the seminar is to bring in industry players, the department, the young professionals, and what they're seeking to do is to explore ways to build skills capacity to support the industry and discuss challenges that are facing professionals in the sector. So if you are in the built environment industry, please can you give me a call? Tell me, what challenges are you facing? What support do you need from government? Maybe you're an engineer, a civil engineer, structural engineer, transport, electrical, mechanical, chemical, whatever sector you're in the built environment industry. Or maybe you're in construction management, quantity surveying, architecture, landscape, urban and regional planning, property studies, interior design, you name it. What challenges are you facing? What issues must this Young Professionals Seminar deal with? 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the 702 open line this morning. The WhatsApp line, if you prefer to send your WhatsApp voice notes, is 072-702-1702. Between 10 and 11 o'clock, we're going to be in conversation with the head of Infrastructure South Africa, Mametsi Masemola. So almost 3 years ago, if you remember, I spoke to her predecessor, Khosiyenso Ramokgopa, about infrastructure projects that Infrastructure South Africa was spearheading. So we're going to get an update on some of those projects and those that Infrastructure South Africa is prioritizing this year. And I think a conversation about infrastructure investment is so critical. It's critical because infrastructure investment is an important driver of the future growth of our economy. Even government's very own economic recovery plan is very much infrastructure-led. And government is doing its part in committing money towards a pipeline of project. I mean, they can do more, but they're doing something in student accommodation, in social housing, telecommunications, water and sanitation, transport. But the private sector also needs to come in as well with investments. So we're going to talk about partnerships between the public and private sectors that can be explored, and also investment opportunities in infrastructure. There are issues around regulatory and policy reforms sometimes. So how is Infrastructure South Africa helping deal with those? How are they exploring innovative funding models for infrastructure? There's no question that economic development is dependent on critical infrastructure. Whether you talk transportation networks or communication networks, sewage, water, reliable electric power system, and you know very well how degraded our critical infrastructure is, right? It's aging. Government has been failing to maintain it timeously, and there's been inadequate security to protect it. So this conversation about infrastructure investment is quite a critical one. That's between 10 and 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we're going to do our listener's choice feature. One of our listeners has asked that we talk about WhatsApp text and whether those texts can be legally binding agreements. And we're going to have this conversation because there appears to be a global trend in recognizing electronic contracts. So be careful out there on what you say, what you agree to on WhatsApp, because that platform may have legal consequences. I was looking at the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act of 2002. It acknowledges a data message as a legitimate method to conclude binding agreements. In fact, the validity of electronic messages was even confirmed by the Supreme Court of Appeal back in 2014, when the court held that the variations to an agreement between the parties made via email were binding. And the arguments put forth were that the variation to the agreement was required to be made in writing and signed by both parties in order for it to be valid, right? And that this requirement had not been met because the variations were discussed and agreed to via email. So at the time, the court stated that the email signatures at the bottom of the emails amount to signatures. So this is an important conversation to have on our listener's choice feature at 11 o'clock. And then 11:30, we're going to do the sharing space. Are you a type of person who's got friends that are older than you? I do. I'm mostly the youngest person in my friendship circles. My friends from when I was in varsity were much older than me. And people often ask, what? But because I do believe I've always been too old at heart. And I'm an old soul. So someone on our sharing space has sent us a similar message that I will read for you at 11:30, whose partner is having concerns about the relationship, the friendships that this person has, because the friends that they have are much older than them. So I'll tell you more about that and ask you if this is something you relate to, or maybe you've got tips for this listener. That's what's coming up on our sharing space at 11:30. That's the show coming up over the next 3 hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702. This is your hour. What do you want to talk about this morning? The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. I was looking at, so on page 3 of the Business Day newspaper, the headline says, tainted process to find deputy public protector halted. This is a story about the process to find a new deputy public protector. It's now collapsed. And it will have to be restarted because there was a parliamentary legal opinion that found that the EFF Member of Parliament, Faita Busisiwe Mkhwebane, should have recused herself because of her connections to two candidates who were being interviewed for the position of Deputy Public Protector. So the parliamentary legal advisors have warned that Mkhwebane's relationship with the two candidates created a reasonable apprehension of bias. I always talk about bias on the show, and maybe I'm obsessed with the perception of bias, or maybe I just don't understand how people don't understand how important it is to manage the perception of bias. We spoke about this when what's his name, the guy who was on the independent panel in Parliament for the Palapala report, Richard Carland. I spoke about the perception of bias when Richard Carland was about to be appointed on an independent panel to look into the Palapala matter in Parliament. Remember that? We had a debate about it. Some of you felt, no, there's nothing wrong with that. He's an incredible mind. Oh, absolutely. That's never been in question. The problem is, he's a political analyst who has already made pronouncements about Palapala, about the president, who is the person at the center of this matter. Doesn't matter how incredible of a mind you are. The perception of bias is there. The president may come and say, this person has always been negative towards me. I don't trust that they can make findings or they can be neutral in the work that they do in this independent panel. And I'm glad that Parliament ended up removing his name from the names that were suggested to be on that independent panel in Parliament. We spoke about perception again when we spoke about the judge in the Constitutional Court that the Constitutional Court wanted to bring in on a temporary basis, Zach Yacoub. We spoke about Zach Yacoub as well. And why it doesn't make sense that he's going to be voluntarily offering his services to the Constitutional Court, because the Constitutional Court has a backlog. And I said, the problem is, that's not a man who has managed to meet the standard we expect judges to hold, that the standard we hold judges of in society. And I've played you clips of how he's treated journalists, what he said to journalists, what he has tried to do in bribing people that he has worked with. The perception there is this is not a man who meets that high standard that we expect of judges. The Constitutional Court has since come back and said, this is not going to work anymore. And they've given their own reasons why Zak Yacoob and Froneman and other people are not going to be brought in and help the Constitutional Court. And now we're talking about Busisiwe Mkhwebane, who is the Member of Parliament for the EFF. She's sitting in interviews and she doesn't understand why it just doesn't make sense that you are going to be interviewing people you were the boss of, some of the people whom you actually fired or dismissed when you were the public protector. So she's failed. So there's a clear conflict of interest here. She has failed to declare that one candidate, Shadrach Dibeile, was representing her in the impeachment case in an African court. Remember, Mkhwebane has challenged their removal as public protector in the African Court on Human and People's Rights. Now, Dibeile is representing her on a pro bono basis. Does it make sense that Mkhwebane must be part of the team that interviews this person, given that long-standing relationship? Mkhwebane was also found to have failed to declare that she had fired executive manager in the Office of the Public Protector, Ponatsego Mokgaladi, when she was public protector. So Mokgaladi challenged a dismissal in the Labour Court and Mkhwebane was forced to reinstate her. That person is now trying to get a job as the deputy public protector. Does it make sense that this person is interviewed by the same person who dismissed him? I mean, how does that not make sense? How does that not make sense when you talk about the perception of bias? So, what I'm asking you this morning is, do you think, just like what the EFF thinks in this matter, that there's an attempt to exclude and punish certain members? Could she have been non-partisan despite these relationships that she has had with these people? And how much influence would her view or vote have anyway? Because at the end of the day, the EFF doesn't have majority in parliament. The ANC does. So maybe we need to stop speaking as though the public protector is going to have the most influence and her vote is going to be the one that's the most important and influences the outcome. Not necessarily. But then again, you've got to think about the process. You don't want to taint it. You still want to give people a fair opportunity who are coming and are being interviewed for the position of deputy public protector. What do you think of this situation? I'd like to hear your thoughts on 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. Give me a call right now or send me a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. We are live from Minlin or Minlane. Someone sent us a WhatsApp voice note helping us with that on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. I was going to tell you that it's Midland, but then you said private school. I went to Model C school. I'm just saying. My school was actually around the corner. I went to the Clean High School. But it's Midland Mall, not Midland.
It's Midland. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for that. John, you're calling us from Centurion. Good morning.
That is true, Clement. Good morning to you and to the listeners. Clement, Yam Mkhwebane seems to blindside everybody else as to the reason that I'm just about to unfold to you. She was impeached due to incompetence, right? That means she did not understand the nature of her role or the nature of her job spec in terms of performance in that office. So as far as I'm concerned, the overriding or the compelling reason why she shouldn't have been in that panel, Yahoo interview, was because she failed to understand what Merkwa Hainele is as a PP or a public protector. That should disqualify her immediately. Let's put your daddy bias in the horse. She fired Mangoro. She was biased between against two other people that she worked with. If you do not understand your work or the nature of work you're appointed to perform in a particular office, as you are impeached and Esther is successfully impeached, you have no business of being in a panel to choose other people who are going to enter the same office of whose work you do not understand to perform or what to do in that office. That, to me, should have been the compelling reason why she shouldn't have been there. Leave out the other reason that you're citing right now. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a political environment, John. Obviously, the public protector is no longer the head of a Chapter 9 institution. She's now a member of a political party, which is the Economic Freedom Fighters. And unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because that is the reason you and I, if you live in Johannesburg, you've got a mayor who doesn't have matric, because politics doesn't require that. You can become a minister even when you don't have a higher certificate. You can become a member of parliament. And that's why we need to have conversations about the expectations that political parties must have on their own members. So Busisiwe Mkhwebane is very well within her rights as the member of the EFF in parliament to be on any committee that the party deploys her to, because that's a political process.
Leave the party. The party will obviously put her forward to stand in any particular committee that they wanted to represent them in, because they took her Kadi Bonafide aside and they want to maintain Hore. Basically, she shouldn't have been impeached. But we know, Hore, any impeachment of any minister or any person means that your performance rating was decidedly very low, below par to what that office required of you. So as a result, we should not be blindsided to the political parties putting people. We should just
Got you, John. Got you. Yeah, we'll hear later what other listeners think on 011-883-0702. It's 26 minutes now after 9 o'clock.
Morning, Clement. Look, Clement, I don't know. You know, when you talk about this conflict of interest and everything, especially this parliament committee, the advisory committee is always quick to act on some of the things, but obviously very slow of also to look at other matters. You know, when Mkhwebane was removed, there was this guy, Mailam of the DA, which is the husband of the complainant. He was sitting on the very same committee that removed Mkhwebane as a public protector. But they didn't find it to be, to be wrong for him to be sitting in that committee. But today, Mkhwebane, the person who's not going to take a decision on these interviews, she's been removed. So I just don't understand. But wait, let's wait for people who knows this better, and maybe the legal way they will explain how is it wrong on the other side and how is it.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's continue with the 702 open line. Your calls on 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. I've asked if you are in the built environment industry. I'd like to hear what your challenges are and what you think government needs to address through this young professionals seminar that is being hosted here at Minlin at the Protea Hotel and Fire and Ice. This is where we're broadcasting live from. Maybe you are in the engineering space. Maybe you are in the construction management space, interior design, urban and regional planning, whatever sector you're in. What challenges are you facing? What issues must this young professionals seminar deal with? But I'm also asking you about Busisiwe Mkhwebane and her insisting on being part of this committee that is interviewing people who want to be deputy public protectors. Some of them are people who have represented her in other cases. Some are people she herself has dismissed. Is that not clear conflict of interest? Let's listen to your WhatsApps.
Hi, Clement. From the perspective of a previous public protector who should be well aware of contexts and situations that impede people's ability to act freely or, you know, make the best of opportunities. This was a major oversight on her behalf. Busiso Mkhwebane should know better, and this goes out to all the MPs, actually. Tony in Midrand.
I mean, Clement, I agreed with you with your assessment of Richard Cullen. I agreed with you with the judge, your assessment with the judge, and I agree with you here. I think you're 100% spot on. And I think we as South Africans need to expect better, and you need to demand better from our politicians. It boggles my mind in the first place how she is in that committee when she has been voted by Parliament, when she's been impeached by Parliament for being incompetent in her job as a public protector. How she then sits in a committee that ultimately chooses the next public protector and other people, senior people that occupy that office. It really is very upsetting. It is very, very upsetting because you see people also try to justify and say, yeah, but Zondo also refused to recuse himself in the Zuma matter. I mean, come on, as South Africans, we really, really, really need to expect better, and we need to demand better of our politicians.
Morning, Madi Major. Mpombonani here. I think you and I are sort of fond of Mkhwebane. We are fond of her not just because of her incompetence, but because we come from the same region, JS Moroka, Temsilehani municipality. However, that should never cloud our judgment in a professional setting. So for me, before I would even arrive at the biasness, I would start do a litmus test on fairness based on the two candidates, the one that she fired and the one that was representing her at the African court. And I think the result would lead to biasness. Yeah, so that's my take. I don't think she was supposed to be in that interview panel. Thank you.
Guys, why is it so difficult for people to understand some of the most basic things? Because I honestly think this is the most basic thing. Like, imagine I'm being interviewed by someone who dismissed me when they were my boss. Huh? So I was dismissed. Let's say I was dismissed, I don't know, at the SABC or wherever. And now I'm dismissed by Abel, who was the boss at the SABC. Now I'm applying to be the CEO, deputy CEO, or the news head at the SABC. And the very same boss who dismissed me there is interviewing me, is part of a panel that's interviewing me. Why can't she recuse herself from that? Because of that perception of bias and possibility. Because the thing about perception is, you don't want people that are in being interviewed for the position to ever feel, oh, I may be favored or I may be prejudiced by this person because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And hey, obviously you've got to check these things, right? This is not a blanket where anybody can say, hey, recuse yourself there because you are my friend. Back in the day, you once visited me once in 2012 in my house and you had coffee in my house. Recuse yourself. I'm saying you can judge every merit of the case. But in this case, isn't that clear? If someone is being interviewed to be a deputy public protector, and this is someone who represented you pro bono in another matter, you don't think you should recuse yourself? Yeah, I don't know. I just think some of these things are so basic, and the fact that you need a parliamentary legal advisor to come and give you legal advice on that, and you still want to insist on, I deserve to be here and I'm going to fight to be part of this panel, that's quite questionable. Let's go to Tau, who's calling us from Roodepoort. Tau, good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your listeners. I'm not even surprised. Why should we be surprised? In the first place, we have highly educated executive of the EFF. How did they not see through this, number one? Number two, why would they even second her to go there and sit in a committee that she knows it's going to deal with a matter with which she was directly in conflict with the committee? Why would we even do that? I think EFF, please thrive where there's anarchy. That's all I want to say. They thrive on anarchy. They should not even have position, because clearly she's going to be conflicted. How do you sit and expect to be fair in judgment of someone who you once had a serious conflict with? You hated that person so much that you wanted to dismiss them, and yet you want to sit and judge them and expect that process to be fair? No. It's going to cost us money, because one person will turn around and say, well, it was biased because of this. Then you're going to have to spend money on all those things. Why? Stick up.
Okay, Dawu, thank you so much for...
Imagine how many mistakes that...
Dawu, your line keeps cutting there, my friend. I'm sorry. Your line keeps cutting there. I think you've made your point, though. It's just that we lost you for a few seconds here and there. Thank you so much for sending us, for calling us, Dawu. Look, I don't want to question the EFF and why they've got the kind of MPs that they have. I mean, they could very well go and get Judge John Hlophe. It doesn't matter. That's the political process allows that, right? The ANC, there are many other parties. I mean, John Steenhuisen, does he have matric? Oh, he does have matric, ne? That's the qualification he has. That's the leader of the DA. So political parties are allowed to field whoever they want to field in parliament. And I don't think, you know, we can have a separate conversation about that. But that's not an EFF thing. It's not an ANC thing. It's not a DA thing. You can field whoever. Our political system allows for that. And you can't say to the EFF, no, you can't put this person because they were impeached. Or you can't put this person because they had this and that controversy. You can't field them and deploy them as a member of parliament. Any political party is allowed to do that. Unless you and I want to have a conversation about how we change the legislation then to give effect to those changes. Sinao Tambo is a member of parliament for the EFF. Sinao, how are you doing?
Morning, how are you, Kelly?
I'm all right, man. Just help me understand, as the EFF, why do you not think that there's bias, or maybe at the very least, the perception of bias that needs to be managed here as far as these two candidates are concerned who are being interviewed for the position of Deputy Public Protector, given their past relationship with Busisiwe Mkhwebane?
Look, in our view, there's no correlation between the interviews for the Deputy Public Protector position and the actions that Advocate Mkhwebane interacted in when she was their employer, when she was an employer of one in one instance, and where one is representing her and the other. There's no tangible representation that there is actual bias, and even that legal opinion does say so, that their recommendation or their advice doesn't necessarily mean that bias exists. And the committee didn't exhaust any form of argument that would suggest that. And I think it's quite nefarious that it only comes to rise when Advocate Mkhwebane is interacting with an institution where she was, with people who belong to an institution where she was a professor before, that there are certain concerns of bias and needs for the chooser. Because we know, for example, and we read this in a statement released yesterday, that Kenneth Gatenbach worked for the NPA, and no one seems to have any concern when the NPA appears before the Justice Committee in Parliament as to what her relationship has been with people within that sphere. So it's nothing genuine, and it's quite laughable and ironic that the people who think that the Parliament of South Africa has the moral authority to make justifications or determinations about people who should recuse themselves because of bias. The President of South Africa suspended the Public Protector of South Africa the day after he received questions regarding Palapalapa. There was no concern about bias and recusal and instances where someone is interfering with the process that can be vengeful in that instance. So The Parliament of South Africa and its legal opinion department has no moral authority to determine who should recuse themselves in what instance.
So what's going to happen now? Because there's a legal opinion, there's a position of the committee, and then there's the position of the EFF where you find nothing wrong with this. What's going to happen now? What's the next step? Will you be challenging that legal opinion so you allow Mkhwebane to be part of the interviewing process for those two candidates?
Look, we've seen that the committee has recommended the restarting of the entire process, which I think is a waste of money and a waste of process that should not be apportioned to the EFF. Because there's nothing that suggests that Evelyn Mkhwebane, in her senior capacity as a member of the Justice Committee, has the ability to sway the outcomes of that process in itself. It's just an attempt to create scandal around a member of the EFF who's deployed in that process and to exclude her because of the vindictiveness of individuals who are part and parcel of the impeachment in the first place. So when that process resumes, the EFF is going to insist that Evelyn Mkhwebane remains as the representative of the EFF in that committee, and if there needs to be a legal challenge to ensure that that is the case, we will do so.
Sinao Otambo, EFF Member of Parliament, thank you so much, man, for coming through. I thought I should bring their voice so that you can hear from their own side why and how they justify allowing and wanting to insist that there's nothing wrong with Busisiwe Mkhwebane staying in that committee. I'm not convinced by their arguments. I've told you what I think. What do you think? Are you convinced by Sinawa's arguments, the EFF's position on this? Let's wrap up with some of your WhatsApp voice notes on 0727021702.
Good day, Clement. In regard to Mkhwebane, I don't see any conflict of interest because, firstly, she's not related to these people. Secondly, there are no business deals with these individuals. And then thirdly, she's just one of the panelists, not the chair of the interview. She might ask whatever questions, but the chair have got a right to say that those questions are not related to the interview. So I don't see any conflicts of interest. Thanks, David.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are allowed in politics, but integrity and ethics are very, very scarce. It's about the integrity of who you field for the position. I mean, it's ridiculous to put someone like that there to make a decision like that. There's no integrity or ethics whatsoever. I mean, when politics comes into it, yeah, you're banking more on the wrong side of human nature.
Hi, Clement. Sabelo here. I mean, come on. Someone who's been labeled a delinquent of the law, a delinquent who attacked judges, the first and only public protector to be impeached. Why are we shocked that she did not recuse herself or that she sees nothing wrong with what she is doing? Why? I mean, I think we've given this far too much energy than what we ought to should have, because she's an impeached public protector simply because she has no competency of understanding her surroundings, it seems.
Hey, guys, I don't know. Maybe members of parliament need, or some of these members of parliament that see nothing wrong with this, maybe they need some education about bias and the perception of bias in some of these matters.